We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
All right, we're live.
We're going live on Facebook group. Should be popping up soon. There's a little bit of a delay, but
yeah, I'm gonna wait a second for people to join, and then we'll get into everything. How you doing, Friday afternoon?
Yeah, you know, we're testing out some software and trying to do some new things, I think, in the group. So I'm excited to jump on in here, but yeah, we want to do this stuff like this more often. Bring more people on to the show so that we can, you know, just have some more one-on-one interactions with people who are listening to the show and then want to jump on, give some opinions. It's going to be,
let's be honest. We just want to dismiss people like Francesca does when they call in.
Yeah.
Well, you said we're doing it. We're hosting this on FanCred. And part of the reason we're hosting the show on FanCred is to welcome you guys, the listeners, onto the show with us face to face. If you're not watching on the FanCred app, go download it right now in the App Store or on Google Play. And sign up, and you'll see a link to our Bronx Pinstripe Show at the top of the app. Once you click there and start watching, press the green fan line button on your screen, and our producer, Cam, will get you on with us during the show. It's something we've been talking about doing for, I feel like, years. We had the voicemail line for a little bit. Obviously, mailbag questions are a big part of the show, which I love. And if you guys could come on and ask good or maybe stupid questions, whatever it might be, just bitch about the fact that the Yankees are losing headlines to Steve Cohen and the Mets day after day. And it seems like the only thing that the Yankees are in headlines for are not signing LeMahieu and possibly Gerrit Cole using illegal substances.
Yeah, just what we needed was another potential scandal. Although I don't think this one, you know, is going to have the legs of banging on a trash can. I feel like we already knew about it, right? Like we knew
this
about
came out in March.
Right. So, but here's what I think, though, because this is something that ESPN just dropped. You know, obviously there's a little bit more coming out now with the way that the clubhouse attendant got released, and now he's making a little bit of a stir as well. But here, I think that this one does have potential to now open some floodgates to other people talking, and now we're talking about different substances that we didn't know about before. And it, you know, I remember reading an article. It was actually like an excerpt from I think it was an Astros post game report. Do you remember that article that I found digging one day? And it was talking about the seams and how some of these guys were just not as big of a believer in like what the way that the seams made an impact on the ball and that they were juiced and all these things. I don't know. It was just like an inference to the point where I think that these substances have been just taken to a different level. And I don't think we know the type of level that they've been taken to. I think it's beyond what most people think with pine tar and
so apparently this guy, what was his name again? Brian Harkins. He was a clubhouse attendant for the Angels for a long time. And he was supposedly, he made this like concoction of pine tar and secret sauce. Who the hell knows what else he was putting in there? He could have been pissing in a bucket for all we know. Like he was making some substance that Angels pitchers and opposing pitchers, which I find hilarious that like, he's providing this to the visiting team as well. And Angels players seemed okay with it. One thing I always find funny.
That's exactly it, isn't it? Like that talks to about what this is. It goes back to player safety. And there are guys who step into the box with a bat that are fine with it too. Because on a cold day.
What are we even talking about? If this is being provided to both home and away teams and anyone, I mean, we all know everyone is, Buster only tweeted, there's someone always doctoring the baseball in some way in every game. Just don't be obvious about it. Don't be Michael Pineda about it.
Because what happens is that if you start getting into special concoctions, special mixtures of said substances, now we're talking about different things. And in the article, they were talking about how these substances, you know, have been, some of them have evolved. Some of them have gotten a little bit more, I don't know, particular, and they've lasered in on some of these concoctions to do certain things. This is where I had a lot of hesitancy, not hesitancy, but I was like, we're going to sign Gerrit Cole. We need to at least acknowledge the fact that the Astros were cheating. And I know it was on the offensive side, but if you're an organization who has no problem with the cheating on the offensive side, how are you supposed to know how deep that runs? How do you know how deep something like that actually runs into an organization. And we saw the spin rate. Trevor Bauer is a guy who's been chirping all the time, talking about the spin rate. The spin rate miracles that have happened in Houston, coming from mostly Pittsburgh, really. But with Charlie Morton, with even Verlander had a tick up when he came over. Like, these are real. The data is there. I'm just wondering what else they're doing beyond just a little pine tar and rosin. What else is going into these substances now? Because that's when you start getting into more things that have implications.
Yeah. So before we continue talking about this, one thing I want to say: if you have a comment or a question, post it in the comments on Facebook or wherever you're watching. I think most people are probably watching this from Facebook, or you can go get the FanCred app. Go to FanCred.com. It'll automatically reroute you to the app store, and you can actually join the show like live with us. But a couple of people are commenting. Like, I think I saw Rose say this scandal is going nowhere. I hesitate to even call it a scandal. What pisses me off is that Gerrit Cole was like the name in the headline, even though when you read the article, there's people. Multiple big name pitchers, like you said, Verlander. I think Corey Kluber was also named. And just think about the top 15 starting pitchers over the past 10 years, and they were probably named in this article. So it's just, why was Gerrit Cole put in the headline? Because he's a Yankee, and he's maybe the best pitcher in the world right now. Like that's the reason why Gerrit Cole.
And he just got the biggest contract, coming in. Coming into this year. So there's a lot of reasons why they put his name in there for
right,
sure.
We're gonna bring in Sam right now. He's our first guest. Let's get him on here, see what he wants to talk about. But yeah, so I mean you're worried about maybe potentially what opens up to other substances. Sam, what's going on, man?
How's it going, guys? I 100% agree with you on this whole substance thing. I think that what you were talking about. I think it is a problem with, obviously it's a league-wide problem. I'm more interested to see how the league is going to handle it because, there's been all the stink made about the Astros and there's, in the past there's been a stink about steroids and, now you have
this. But do you put this in the same category as steroids or even what the Astros were? Like, this is...
Not remotely close, but from a... I think from a PR standpoint from the league, and especially because it's like all of these big-name guys, like I actually... don't think that there's a good move that they can make. Cause I think if you slam them, everybody's like, what the hell, this has been going on for years. And I mean, even some hitters have literally said like, they're okay with
it. Yeah. That. So here's the other side of this. I could see them coming out and saying, okay. And just allow it, allow pine tar, allow some of these substances to a degree or legalize one of these mixture substances so that on a cold day, They're doing.
Well, that's not going to solve anything. These players are still going to find say you legalize a certain substance. There's still going to be some pitchers who are like, well, I like my substance a certain this way, so I'm going to try and do that instead. And then it's like, well, then what's legal? What's illegal? It's just so.
But that's going to happen. That can happen with everything. The fact is that nothing is legal right now. You can't even technically lick your fingers on the mound. You got to walk off the mound, lick your fingers, get back up there, which is a stupid rule. So they could go to a level where they're allowing something that's league approved that would appease the people that want to have it, but also make it not a scandal and make it not anything. Remotely.
Stop saying the word scandal. This is not a scandal.
It's fun to say scandal. Scandal.
We should also talk about Gerrit Cole texting like a 13-year-old girl. He says, "Hey, Bubba, it's Gerrit Cole. I was wondering if you could help me out with a sticky situation." Wink face emoji. "We don't see you until May, but have some road games in April that are in cold weather places. That stuff last year seizes up when it gets cold." And then I don't know what else he said.
First of all, dude's name is Bubba, so they're going to the clubhouse, Bubba guy, and it doesn't sound great. But they got receipts. Gerrit Cole's like, you got to limit these receipts.
He's
got
to smash his cell phone like Tom Brady.
Yeah, because it works.
Sam, what else? Anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, I guess my only
besides the fact that he kind of looks like Gerrit Cole.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Grown out the hair a little bit.
Yeah,
That flow would not be approved by the Yankees.
it doesn't go past my shoulders though. I think I'd be all right.
Yeah, you just got a long neck.
But I think the only other thing too is obviously the number one thing on the mind of every Yankees fan. What do they do with DJ? And I think now that Lindor went to the Mets, and you know, since there hasn't really been any noise with them on any other fronts, like not really pitchers, like it's pretty much the only thing has been DJ. So I almost wonder, especially, I think Lindor was a long shot to begin with, but I feel like now that he's off the table, like the fact that there hasn't been anything almost makes me think they're only like, you know, they're focusing solely on DJ. But at the same time, if they're solely focusing on this guy and they're the most valuable sports franchise in the entire country, like what in the world is the holdup? Like just give the guy his money. I think he's the most valuable bat that they have because of how often he just puts it in play and gets on base. But like, what are they doing?
I think Cashman's playing a really dangerous game of chicken. He doesn't think another team is going to give LeMahieu a fifth year, and he doesn't want to have to give out a fifth year if he doesn't have to. It's weird where the Yankees draw the line in the sand sometimes, and then other times they'll just blow out contracts and it doesn't matter. Like it didn't matter for Gerrit Cole. I understand that. But not that long ago, they're signing like Jacoby Ellsbury to 7 years. So it's like, why are you drawing the line in the sand with arguably your, like you said, your most valuable player? It baffles me. And I think the longer it goes on, the less likely he is to resign.
Well, and the other thing that is mind-boggling too is it's like I don't know, like what would their replacement option be? Like
I mean that's the thing. So I think what the Lindor signing does now is it has us absolutely looking around to see what Plan B is. What is Plan B? Plan B could be a reunion with Didi Gregorius. That's option. That's a possibility. You slot back over Torres to second base. Now we're, you know, we got the band back together. Like there's a possibility for that, but you start looking around the league at what the other option is. And it starts to look not good. It's not good. It's not a good option. They need to sign DJ. Like it's just become more and more clear. So that it was ever not clear.
The most valuable organization in sports, and they won't give the guy a fifth year. And I just don't get it. And the risk that he actually does walk is, I mean, because then what's your next option? You have Aaron Hicks, who bats 230 at the top of your lineup. I know some people, you know, he gets on base a lot, but not great.
Well, I'd rather him batting leadoff than third.
I 100% agree with too. But I mean, they just got to get it done. They have to get it done.
So, Andrew, let's talk a little bit. Sam, thanks very much, man. Yeah, man. Our producer that's on here might boot you in a second here. Thanks for coming on. If you guys do want to come on, just a refresh in how you do it, go to the FanCred app, download it, and once you open it, you should see the show, and there's a green button that says "Come on the show." So hit the.
By the way, guys, this is going to be posted to the regular podcast feed as well, so you can listen back to it. If you're missing some things, or if you weren't able to catch it, or whatever, just wanted to say that. What were you going to say, Scott?
No, I let's talk about the that deal a little bit. The Lindor Mets deal,
fleecing.
Well, yeah, it depends if you like the prospects, if you like the players. Obviously they look. I was expecting potentially more. The difference is that Lindor is not signed, so that's why. If they sign him, which we fully expect them to do, but if they don't sign him beyond the year, then what? But that's that's the reason why they didn't get very much for Lindor in the first place.
Or no, I get that, but also Carlos Carrasco, who's like a very solid.
That was a salary dump, an old fashioned salary dump.
Do you realize that the Indians only have $22.9 million committed in salary next year? That's kind of like an embarrassment for a team that just made the playoffs. I mean, I understand if it's like the Marlins or something, or no, the Marlins made the playoffs. Like the Royals or something, who are just completely trying to rebuild and salary dump. But the Cleveland baseball team, I think I did say the I words, which I'm not supposed to anymore. The Cleveland baseball team was in the playoffs last year, and they're going to have $30 million payroll. That's messed up.
Yeah, no, that's not good. It's not good there. And that literally is an old fashioned salary dump. And you just don't see that in baseball very often. And I think he's got three controllable years. Cause he's got a third year, which is an option, Carrasco, a club option. So that's a huge deal just for getting Carrasco. You like take Lindor out of the deal. If he's just there for 1 year, now you have a very solid starting pitcher that's coming over for 3 years.
Yep. We got Enrique coming. We know Enrique. We're both well, very familiar with our guy, Enrique, in South Florida, the BP crew chapter down in Miami. I think I, it was about a year ago, actually, I met up with Enrique in the city. He'll be joining us in a second. What's up, my man?
What's up, Andrew? How you doing, Scott?
What's good. Up, Enrique? How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Good. Good to see you guys. Good to see you again, Andrew. Good to see
you. Yeah, it was about a year ago I was saying that we met up, right? Before all the shit hit the fan.
Yeah, yeah. Hell of a timing, right? Good thing I took that trip with my family before everything went down.
Man, thinking about the timing of that one, we had 200 people coming to Tampa literally the 2 days before this whole thing stopped, had the entire bullpen club rented out in Tampa for spring training. Wild, wild times.
And that's my son, by the way, guys. He wanted to say what's up.
What's going on, buddy? What's up, buddy?
Hello.
Hello. What do you want to talk about, Enrique?
Well, the first thing I wanted to talk about, the caller prior kind of stole my thunder. I wanted to talk about DJ, but I guess that's off the table now. So I guess...
I mean, if you got another... Do you have anything else you want to say about DJ? I mean, I have not talked to a Yankees fan that doesn't want to sign DJ LeMahieu. I don't think there is one out there that exists that doesn't want to sign.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to piggyback off what he said, and then I'll move on to my next topic. I'm going to piggyback off what he said and just ask, what's taking so long? Like, why didn't this get done like yesterday? Like, you know, I'm an avid listener of you guys. I listen every single week to the podcast, and I was 100% with you guys since day one. Like, why wasn't this done in season before it got to this point? You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's one of those things where expectations, I guess, are coming to play because they don't do stuff in season. We know that, right? But you're right. It should happen immediately with a guy like him who's proven so valuable, outplayed. I mean, he outplayed the contract that he was signed for, you know, significantly. And when the Yankees, I remember how many fans were like, what are we going to do with this guy when they signed him? Like, what is Cashman doing? We got these positions filled. But, you know, obviously they knew something. Cashman has been, if we're looking at Cashman's career and like the things that he's done well, identifying talent with position players has always been one. And being able to pull it from places that other people are not looking. You know, we saw it with Didi. We saw it with Voit. We've seen it with Urshela. We've seen it like he's got a very deep track record of doing this. So it's tough to see why they didn't say, okay, this is another level. This is an MVP type guy. Sign him now. Stop messing around.
I'm at a loss. I have no clue why it hasn't happened already. There's no legitimate reason why you would.
Unless DJ LeMahieu on the back end is saying, I'm not signing the deal that you've put on.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they've said I will match, but maybe he just wants to look around. Maybe that's the case that we don't know. I don't know. But other than some other kind of circumstance, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Especially them saying it's the number one priority. Doesn't make sense to me.
Rob on Facebook, just real quick, Enrique, Rob on Facebook goes, I'm in the middle of teaching fifth grade and I'm just stopping to say hello. So we got someone teaching, actively teaching fifth grade right now who's watching the show. Nice.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's a Zoom call just like this, right?
Yeah, of course. It's Zoom school, Zoom podcasting.
Oh, someone just wished you a happy new year too, which I'm very happy about.
Of course they did.
By the way,
all right, Enrique, you had another one. What's up?
No, also, by the way, since we're getting the pleasantries out of the way, also, I didn't get a chance to tell you. Thank you. Congratulations, Andrew, on the wedding and everything.
Oh, man.
I get to tell you in person. So
I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks very much. That seems like ages ago at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's moved on. He's got a kid coming soon. So next, the marriage is old news.
Yeah.
Congrats. Now your life is about to get turned upside down.
Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. And just saying, getting on what you guys were saying, not only is he your best hitter, but like you guys have said on the podcast, he's a player that he's worth the long contract. Like that whole fifth year thing doesn't make sense with him because he's not one of those guys that will get old and strike out a bunch like we had with Giambi, with A-Rod, with all these old timers that just swung and missed at the end of at the latter part of their career. DJ style will, you know, it'll last until he decides to stop playing. That style of putting the bat to the ball will not go out. You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand what's the holdup. Plus his defense. Like, are you kidding me? So
that's the thing with his defense too. Like he slots over to third base. He slots over to first base. He's got the opportunity to even move away from the more athletic positions where you need to cover more ground and just be solid. So everything you're saying is right. Everything there's nothing makes sense.
Do you think the analytics department is behind not signing a 32-year-old player to a 5-year contract? Do you think
if they are, this is another one of those reasons how they are not identifying the human aspects of what's going on because of his style, the way that he plays baseball, the way that he does things?
I don't know. I'm with you, but like
his play translates.
There's probably some spreadsheet in the Yankees front office that says when a player is 32 years old, you don't sign him for more than 4 years.
Then maybe they should have brought that spreadsheet out when they signed A-Rod those deal, and they should.
No, but that, so the counter to that is you don't make the same mistakes over and over again. So you got to change your ways eventually. The fact that they're changing their ways potentially for DJ LeMahieu is infuriating, but that might be the case. They might just say, we don't see a market out there for him for more than 4 years. We don't think that's going to be, we don't think a team is going to give him 5 years. So we're just going to wait him out.
Based on what the contracts were last year from some of these guys, based on what they, what we saw Strasburg get, a guy who's got a massive injury risk, like every second, every throw, you're like scared to death. The guy's going to, his arm's going to fall off. There's nothing saying that the market won't overpay. Nothing is saying that the market will overpay for the right person. If the team believes that this is the right person, they'll overpay. Why aren't the Yankees?
Guys, if I could get one more point in. The other topic I was going to throw in, like I said, I thought we weren't going to talk LeMahieu anymore. The previous caller talked about it. What's going to happen with my son's favorite player, Gary? Like, what are the Yankees going to do with him? Like, I don't understand what's this whole thing that they still believe in him. This, like, when do you cut ties? When do you say, okay, enough? You know, you've had plenty of time to prove yourself. You know, you're great with the bat when you're on, but you're not on enough to be a valuable asset to us. Like, he hasn't done anything to show it. And then his defense is lackluster. So it's like, when do you move on?
So with Gary Sanchez, the organization is behind him still. They believe that he is. And thanks, Enrique.
Yeah, the connection was a little iffy. So the producer, but Enrique, thank you. Good to see you.
They believe that he has the abilities, clearly. But I think more to the point, if we were in a decision year right now and it wasn't an arbitration year, if it was a year though that the Yankees had to offer him a contract in a different way that was a little bit more money, it was a little bit of a different scenario, I think they might walk away from him. But I think given the value of the way that the contract was laid out because of the arbitration and because of this current situation, I think that's what made it. I still think that they clearly want to make sure that he has every ability to get it out.
But also, I don't think they were going to sign, say, McCann, right, who the Mets signed. And I don't think they were ever going to be in on JT Realmuto. So what is we're talking about plan B's. What is plan B for Gary Sanchez if you don't re-sign him? It's to have Higgy be the full-time catcher? I don't think that's a realistic plan. You cannot go into a season with Higgy as the full-time catcher. And
guess what? Yeah, if you are, if that's your plan, you might as well have Gary Sanchez behind him or there at the same time, see what the upside is. Yeah. It was a no doubt situation. Like you got to bring him back for what the contract is and for what the upside is. So just hope that he figures it out. Like, trust me, if you listen to the show, you know, I'm as frustrated watching him as anybody. But I also see the upside and I understand what that is. Just a matter of, he hasn't shown it in a long time. And I do think it's a player issue.
We're going to bring Drew on in a second here. But I think, this is the last shot for Gary. You have to see one time and for all if he can produce. What would be really ironic is if Gary has like a fantastic year and then they have to sign him because he had such a good year and then he just goes back to his crappy ways. Drew, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Drew? What's up?
So one thing I want to talk about is pitching. I think it's pretty common for us as Yankee fans to say, okay, we got Cole, but after that, it's kind of question mark.
Yeah, pray for rain, and then have Garrett Cole come back.
And it worries me that Cashman, Yankees management, whatever you want to call it, is saying, oh, okay, so we got Cole, but then we have Montgomery, Herman's coming back, Sevy's coming back halfway through the season. We got Davey, we got Clark Schmidt. So like, oh, we have six guys. We're good. It worries me that they're thinking that, or they're thinking, okay, we lost Paxton and Tanaka, but we have Herman coming back and then Sevy halfway through the season. So we're good. We're good. We don't have to get pitching. So it worries me that they're going to do something like that and say, we're good to go.
that's the frustrating part for all of us, right? We're seeing that. We've seen that song and dance how many times? But this is the year. Like, you have these controllable guys there. Go add to the major league rotation. In the past, we've talked about adding to the major league rotation when there really weren't spots to add because guys didn't have options to shuffle them back and forth. We do have that option this year. Like, there's the ability to do that is now. So that's
the if they're all those guys you mentioned, like, yeah, that's right. They could all make, yeah. They're all X factors that if they produce to maybe their ceiling, then it could be a really strong rotation. But the likelihood of all of them doing that is almost zero.
Yeah.
You can't count on all of those guys producing above what their expectations could be.
Yeah. And I think you could almost argue, given that you can't expect all of them to go to their ceiling compared to what the rotation was last season, the rotation's not as good as it was last year. And obviously that didn't get us to the World Series or even the ALCS. So I think
also last year was 60 games. This year is maybe going to be 162, but it's going to be at least 120 games.
Yeah.
So you're going to count on one ace and a bunch of question marks to get through 100 plus regular season games and then four playoff rounds.
Yeah.
It's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. And not to mention two of those guys are still essentially kind of rookies in Schmidt and Devi. And then you have Herman, who hasn't pitched in forever. Sevi, who hasn't pitched in forever, who's coming off.
You can't count on Sevi at all. Yeah. I don't think you can count on
Sevi. Sevi's the quote Cashman midseason acquisition that we're going to hear about that we're all going to vomit about.
Like, so what would you do? Drew, what would you do? Like, what are you, like, just go balls out for Trevor Bauer? Are you trying to make a Sevi trade? What do you want to do?
I would probably look maybe trade first. You know, I'd love to say Trevor Bauer, but is that realistic? Probably not. And again, I think I saw something where he's still looking for, you know, 30, 40 a year for like 6 years. And it's like, all right, well, that's not going to happen for us.
So. A lot of that is chirp too. Like, he's making noise on social. We'll see what happens with his actual contract.
Yeah. Also, to this point about pitching, Adam on Facebook kind of makes a good point. He's like, the bullpen is kind of trending down as well.
Yeah.
Guys are getting older. They lost Tommy Canley. Not that he was going to be available anyway. They lost Holder, not that he was like a huge piece, but he's like kind of a back of the bullpen guy that gives okay innings. You've got Chapman and Britton who are getting older. You've got Chad Green who's getting older. So if your plan is like still go with four or five innings out of your bullpen every night, it's not going to last for much longer.
It's not. And this is just total side note. Jonathan Holder definitely feels like the new Adam Warren, where he's going to come back to the team like 19 times, right? I feel like we're going to be talking about him for a long time, coming back. Yeah, they have to make a move in both spots, really. I mean, when you look at what the bullpen is, unless they can get some more out of some of the guys that they believe in, like Johnny Lasagna, like if he can become a dependable bullpen guy, maybe, but we haven't seen it yet. But yeah, it's a lot of uncertainty beyond Gerrit Cole.
And now
we have this with the
Drew. If you had to rank the starters behind Gerrit Cole for next year, how would you rank them?
I mean, I don't know. With it being next year with Sevi coming off injury and Herman not pitching for a while, it's tough. But I hold Montgomery a little bit higher than I think most people do. I'm not saying he's a number two, but I'm saying given the inexperience and coming back from not playing that the other guys have, and you know, with what they're going to come back with, I hold Montgomery actually higher than most people would with what we have to play with. So I do like Montgomery. Herman, I don't know, we saw him really good in the first half of the year the last time he played, but he kind of fell off. Sevi, I don't even know if you can talk about him right now because of
The tone in your voice says it all. You're trying to like talk yourself into these guys behind Gerrit Cole. Like, it's not going to happen.
One guy, I know you asked me, you know, what would I do? One guy that comes to mind, which I've been thinking about, is Corey Kluber. I think he's
low risk,
high reward. Yeah, he's a little bit older, but I don't think we're going to have to pay him a lot of money. And I think he's a strictly business type guy that can come in. He's going to work hard. It's kind of like Gerrit Cole in that sense. And I think he could be a guy to maybe sign. But
that can't be your only acquisition.
That's the problem with him. He almost has to be like an addition way after, you know, just not even in the plan. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, because he's also the guy that could get hurt in spring training. And then now if you're sitting on Corey Kluber as like the acquisition to come in and talk about the name,
he could be the Troy Tulowitzki of pitching, where he plays like he makes one start and then we never see him again.
Yeah. So but I mean, Trevor Bauer, while not ideal with the contract, I mean, he's the best guy on the market right now. And he may, I mean, it would not surprise me if he came in with like a Darrell Revis assassin type contract where it's a 1 year, you know, go in, do everything.
$40 million.
$50 million.
One year, $40 million. Would you sign that if you're Brian Cashman? Because there's also talk that they just want to be under the luxury tax next year because, you know, the Yankees and their multi-billion dollar team had such a hard year financially in 2020. So they want to get under the luxury tax for 2021. So if you sign Trevor Bauer, it's impossible. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. It totally screws the luxury tax numbers, those 1 year contracts. So
again, Jay's number one too. So we got everything is after that.
Anything else, Drew?
That's pretty much it. I know a lot of people have been talking about DJ and stuff like that, but I wanted to talk about my frustration with the...
I agree with you that the pitching is a bigger issue than signing DJ LeMahieu, and I do want to sign DJ LeMahieu, obviously, but the pitching is a bigger issue.
Yeah, ultimately.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, Drew. The funny thing is, and we've definitely hit on this, like the pitching is glaringly the obvious thing too, right? But... when the ultimate goal is to win a World Series championship, looking at what actually has failed us in the playoffs over the past few years has been the style of offense, has been the offense, the strikeouts, the not getting, taking advantage of the moments when we have them, when we're going up against top flight, number one and two pitching. And when you don't sign DJ, now you're going back to the same thing, man. And it's like, okay, yes, we've bolstered the pitching. It's been great. But we're losing these games, not because of the pitching in the playoffs, but because of the offense not coming through. It's tone deaf.
Yeah, we've got Andrew coming on. This might be one of the Andrews who submitted mailbag questions last week. One of the multiple Andrews, not my alter ego personalities. But no, you said the strikeouts have bit them in the ass in the playoffs. That's 100% true. But also starting pitching, like they tried to do opener shenanigans in game two of their playoff series. Andrew, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I wanted to come on here. First of all, I wanted to give a big shout out to Bubba because he has, I think, all but destroyed our chances at finally getting Trevor Bauer. Call me pessimistic.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer is trolling the shit out of Garrett Cole on Twitter today.
I mean, hey, and you know what? He does that. That's true. Fair play to him. He can do whatever the hell he wants. But
great point.
One of the things that the reason why I wanted to come on here is that I feel like this offseason, you know, people are saying it's so different from every other year because, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think we're kind of in a perpetual state of just the Yankees having this mentality of them being smaller than they actually are. For FanCred, shout out to FanCred. I do a lot, have done in the past a lot of coverage on soccer. And if you guys know anything about that, one of the biggest clubs, probably the Yankees of soccer, is Manchester United. And Manchester United about 7 or 8 years ago started resting on their laurels, resting on the fact that they had the greatest team in the world. And all the guys started leaving. And then before everything was said and done a couple of years ago, they were a shell of what they used to be. Now, they still had the panache and the prestige of having the most famous stadium, the most famous branding, the most famous logo. People all around the world knew who they were, maybe not for what they were, but because of the logo on their shirt. And the Yankees are basically becoming that. They're becoming the supreme of Major League Baseball. And call me pessimistic, I love the Yankees. I always will for the rest of my life. But I feel like, and I also love Brian Cashman. I think Brian Cashman has given us a lot of joy, has brought us championships and pennants and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the last caller, shout out to him, he said something about Corey Kluber, and I was going to come on here and say the same thing. But you guys made a great point. Corey Kluber, not just the Troy Tulowitzki, he's the AJ Burnett of 2020 potentially. And that he comes with CC Sabathia to the opening press conference, the introductory press conference. And it's, oh, there's CC. We're all celebrating him. Oh, and there's 34-year-old AJ Burnett. And while AJ had his moments, you don't win that 2009 World Series because you got AJ Burnett. You won because you had everyone else. And I feel like, you know, I'm not saying Trevor Bauer is the answer, but I'm saying that I feel like they have to be more creative than this, because again, the Yankees are not only they're the biggest team in baseball, they're the biggest team in professional sports.
They have the resources to outspend everyone, and they have the smarts in the front office now with Cashman and his control of the analytics department and everything to be as smart and creative as some small market teams. And it's a great point you made about Manchester United. I don't know anything about soccer, but I'm just going to trust your knowledge here, in that if you're the Yankees, why wouldn't you use your competitive advantage of money over everybody else? You've now set yourself up to where you're not just spending like you were in the 2000s and early 2010s. You've set yourself up where you have good prospects and you have lower salary guys who are some of your best players on your roster. But don't then just be like, well, we're not going to spend because it's not what, quote unquote, the smart thing to do. Like, you can swallow any contract time and again.
One of the things you're saying too, though, talking about the smaller market teams and the way that they spend as well. Look at Tampa. Tampa has spent in ways that gives them the ability to develop these players as well. They're spending in ways that is, you know, they're feeding themselves.
Their biggest signing ever was Charlie Morton for 2 years. Like, that was their biggest signing ever.
But they're identifying talent in a different way because they've put resources in a place where they're able to do this in a smart way. And I think that's what the Yankees are doing as of last year, the year before that, when they bring on more of these analytics guys. They're trying to build that foundation of making smarter decisions at the minor leagues with the
draft. And they've done that by getting Luke Voit and getting Gio Urshela and getting some of these bullpen arms and stuff like that. But then on last year, you go out and you sign Gerrit Cole. That's a big market move. That's only the Yankees or the Dodgers or someone like that can make that move.
What are you saying that? Are you just saying this because they haven't signed DJ yet? Like, assuming they signed DJ, you're like, okay, then they are doing that? Or is it because they're not going out and working a check for Trevor Bauer? Because
I didn't think Trevor Bauer was ever realistic. It's if you decide if they don't sign DJ LeMahieu because they don't want to go to 5 years, I think it's what Andrew is saying, where it's like, well, what is the point of being the Yankees if you're not going to go to 5 years on DJ LeMahieu?
It's true. It makes no sense. In that respect, it makes no sense. But Andrew, like the other side of it, by going out and making that other splash move, going and getting the Trevor Bauer, like you not only have the ability to be the Tampa Bay Rays, the Devil Rays, and get that foundation of the analytics and make sure that but you can go out and take a big swing and get the other guy too. Like, go. Yeah. Especially right now when the organization and the way that the roster is playing out, the fact that they have these controllable guys, make the move. It makes so much sense.
Andrew, is Manchester United the team that John Henry owns?
No, that is my boys right here. Liverpool Football Club.
Oh, Liverpool.
I've been a
fan. Hold on. What's the deal with Billy Bean? What's the deal with Billy Bean?
What's the deal with that? I'll be honest. It's been a little while since I looked into that, but it looks like a lot of Americans are trying to get into that market because John Henry has done unbelievable. I mean, you wouldn't know that because the Red Sox are basically doing what we're doing, but actively, you know, they're basically saying, hey, everyone, you can go get out of here. The luxury tax is 2 million. Like just go away. Mookie Betts, you know, you're once in a generation talent, get out of here. He's making a lot of money. They're doing so well in England that guys like Billy Bean, I'm not sure which club it was, but they're looking to pick one of those up. And I think there was one other guy and then of course Stan Kroenke, who owns like the Rams, and I don't know if he has a baseball team. He owns Arsenal, so there is a bit of that American businessmen people going over there. But John Henry, I think, is the only one. I'm probably wrong, but I think he's the only one who's within baseball who also does that. So
yeah. All right, man. Well, good to have you on. Appreciate it. Are you one of the Andrews that sends in mailbags a ton?
Not yet, but you know, okay. Watch out.
now you got to send in mailbag questions and come on next time we do this as well. Appreciate it, man.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks, Andrew. All right, man, we're running up against time. I know we both have a couple things still to do today for actual work. But This was fun. This was a lot of fun. It was great having everybody on. It was thanks for participating and everybody going over to FanCred and jumping on through the app. We'll definitely be doing this again. But yeah, Andrew, do you see them signing DJ LeMahieu this weekend?
No, not this weekend. I think that I like as every day goes by, I think less and less likely that they sign DJ LeMahieu.
Real quick, Adam is asking if there's a chance with all of these dumps that are happening in Cleveland that are.
I know we're no Bieber. No, he's cheap for them. They want cheap.
They want cheap.
They could still make the playoffs next
year.
They still have good pitching.
Yeah, that's the thing with them is they have good pitching in the minor leagues. They can replenish a little bit easier than a lot of other guys. So,
yeah, I don't think so. And Jose Ramirez surprisingly only makes like $9 million, so that's a steal.
Yeah, they're gonna live in that mediocre zone, that middling area of purgatory where
especially now
competing and you're not losing all the way.
If you can make the playoffs by winning 84 games because there's more than half the league makes the playoffs, then the owner is going to gladly do that.
Sad reality.
Sucks. There.
Sad reality.
This was a lot of fun. I'm sure we'll be doing it again. More info to come there. We'll probably talk about the details on our next regular show, and we'll be posting it. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Thanks, everyone, for watching and posting in the comments and stuff like that. We'll catch you guys next time.
You guys.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it, and go Yankees.